This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, guys, it's almost New York City Beer Week. It's like February 2018. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Jimmy's number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. It's actually February 20th, 2018. And I'm looking around this room. You know, Beer Week is a very important part of New York City. And it's almost like Beer Week is every week now because there's like what, over 30 breweries. And I know you got Rob from Transmitter. Rob, how many breweries are there in New York City? He's not going to talk, but he's a quiet guy.
I think there's over 30 breweries right now.
And there's like over 10 people in this room, so we're trying to bounce them around. We've got some great beer bar owners like Corey Bonfilio from Beer Street.
Good evening, Jimmy.
Great to have you back on. All right. And Ian from The Well. You know, you always have the best event of Beer Week. You got a panel on Sunday, February 25th with everybody's favorite brewers.
We do.
You're a cool guy.
Thank you.
And some of the guys from Threes, we got Matt Levy and Joel Ford.
Yeah, once again, Jimmy, it's Levy.
Levy to the Levy.
Yo.
Levy to the Levy. And Anthony Accardi from Transmitter.
Hey, Jimmy.
And great. And we got our a sales rep from Threes, Victoria.
What's happening, man?
There's a lot of people in this room, but this is what a Beer Week preview is like. So, you know, just to get started, Corey, you know, we've known each other a long time. I know when you ran Proletariat, used to work at Whole Foods. I'm always proud of you, and I'm really respectful of your beer knowledge and connections. And it's great to have you on the show. And Ian, also Ian Lundquist from The Well. So we're gonna, you know, I'm always a big fan of the best beer bars and the guys running them. I feel like you guys have knowledge and, you know, connections that the average person wishes they had. And you're not bogged down by the day to day of running a brewery. You know, I mean, do you guys feel special that you're at a great job in this great city?
I love my job, for sure. And my job is to make sure that the bar has the beer that I want to drink or the best, you know, the best of what's available in the New York City market with somebody else's money. That's pretty awesome. I just get to buy all the beer that I want with my boss's money. And it's great to have a boss, an owner of The Well, Josh, who's as enthusiastic about beer as I am, that supports that.
And last year, you had a really great panel. You had a Joe from Grimm's, you had Tony from KCBC, some really great people on that panel.
Yeah, we've got two more of those for Beer Week this year. We've got one on Sunday, and we have one the following Saturday. They're going to be hosted by Chris Kuzme and Mary Azette. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Great. And Corey, man, you know, you've been through so much. Beer Street is a rocking place. You know, what are you doing for Beer Week?
We got a couple of cool things, man. Tomorrow, like a pre-Beer Week thing, we're part of, along with The Well, Spuyten, Toast, and Browery Lane, we're launching True from Denver, who are the fucking coolest, man. Really beautiful, like delicate wild ales and metal, and that just makes me so happy. And then Sunday is our annual Suarez Hudson Valley and Threes event, which is rad. It's the third annual. The Wednesday following, Plan B, I think their first kind of real event in New York, if I remember correctly. And we have like 12 or something bottles we're going to pour by the glass. Ridiculous. And then we're going to round it out the final Sunday on the 4th of March with Sand City, five lines from them, KCBC and Interboro. So it's going to be really rad, man.
That's great, man.
Yeah, real fun.
And we get some, you know, having Anthony here from Transmitter. Anthony, remember a couple years ago I sat with you and Kelly Taylor. We were just talking about beer, and I'm really happy to have you back on the show.
Thanks. It's always good to be here. It's always a good vibe, and I like such a big group of people. It's fun to be in the room with so many people.
Yeah, and we're going to taste some of your beers today and also Threes. And the guys from Threes, Joel and Matt. What's your last name again, Matt?
It's Levy.
Levy, okay.
Like the jeans, right?
I'm having trouble getting started today, but I think we should Corey, you have the first beer. Let's get a beer going. And I really want to talk to Anthony. You know, we had that conversation with Kelly Taylor. you know, everyone, there's hazy IPAs, there's different styles, people are knocking out beers. But we did have this conversation. You talked about your beers take time. And it's resonated with me. Last week we had E9 from Tacoma, Washington. They had, you know, some really good, you know, wild ales, and people talk about old gooses. And there's something about, you know, giving certain styles of beer time. And I almost want to call it slow beer. And I feel like you're one of the guys that I first talked to about it.
You know, I think beer has four ingredients, and I think the fifth ingredient is time. I think it's important for certain styles of beer to really allow that to flourish and use it as part of the process. So, not all beers need to be slow. Clearly, a 10-day IPA is good at 10 days, and that's amazing. But beers that are more yeast forward tend to continue to develop in good ways, and I think it's critical to allow them their time, so to speak.
That's great. What do you guys think, Joel and Matt? Any thoughts about certain beers that take more time, or you know, any approach you guys are doing, or beers that you like?
Yeah, I mean, at Threes we make a lot of lagers. They're all done. You know, traditionally everything we do is unfiltered. I learned at Peekskill that IPAs are often better when they take a little bit of time, at least to settle out some of the yeast matter and stuff. But I think that it depends on the beer. We are making some IPAs that are pushed out a little faster because they're fresher. But in terms of the lager program, they're usually 4 to 6 weeks. And, we're doing a lot of fooder lagers, oak fermented lagers that can take up to 2 months. So it just kind of depends when the beer's ready. Joel's focusing on barrels, so those are longer-term projects he can talk about.
Yeah, and for you guys, to allocate those resources, I mean, that's a big jump, isn't it?
Yeah. Time and resources and space is a thing in New York City. So, it's either time or CO2 is your ingredient. So we do a little of both.
Great. And Justin, Threes, you're Sycamore, one of the good beer seal bars. I've known you for years. How do you feel like the beer program's going at Threes, and, you know, anything going on?
I mean, I've been excited about it since day one. These guys right now are just, like, creating an amazing portfolio and continuing to do just an awesome job. And I'm glad that I work there every day so I can drink some beers every day that they're making. So it's great.
That's great. And Corey, what did you pour for us?
This is the Suarez Family General Store, which is another one of his oak-aged wild ales, country beers that I think is meant to be in the style of a beer de garde as a base, which I've actually not had yet, so I'm really psyched about this. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I mean, once again, Corey, you'll blow me away with the connections you have and the beers that you bring in. I saw that. It's a large, like, 750 bottle. It's a 1.5 liter, right?
Yeah, it's a Magnum.
I thought it was something from Europe.
Yeah, I mean, just as good, if not better, and from not far from here, which is great.
How does anyone want to talk about, how this tastes to them? This is pretty wild. It's like a oak wild ale from Hudson Valley, New York. I mean, who heard of that before?
It's beautiful. So clean. So clean. A little malty, a little tangy. I mean, the tartness is pretty subdued but present. Really light on the palate. Like, most of his beers are very delicate, which I really appreciate. And I mean, it's another hit from Suarez Family.
Yeah. And Joel, you said you're doing some barrel work as well.
We have certain
styles.
We have a whole bunch of stuff in barrels. Ranging from saisons to some fruited beers that we're doing, a few whiskey barrels and stuff like that. Yeah. Like last week, we just racked over saison with some grape must that had been in barrels for over 2 years. 2 years and a day.
Wow. And Ian, at the well, I know you've got like quite a few taps, and you really stack it for Beer Week.
We do.
Any certain breweries that you have lined up that you're looking forward to tasting this week?
Yeah, well, as Corey mentioned, we have the True event tomorrow. It's a pretty cool concept. It's a bar crawl with Browery, Spuyten, Beer Street, Tourist, and the Well. A pretty novel event. I don't think anybody's done anything quite like that before. And everybody participating, everybody in the North Brooklyn beer community is pretty tight. So it's a pretty cool thing to be participating with all these people, participating in with all these people. And then on Sunday, we've got Barrier Grim, KCBC, Equilibrium, and somebody else that's going to. They're going to be pissed at me later on. Pipeworks. Thank you.
They came last year.
They're from out of town, so they probably won't
even Chicago,
hear
us. Right? Pipeworks?
Chicago. Yeah, lovely people. Really great people. So, I mean, it's always a lot of work, but it's always really amazing once it happens to get so many fun, cool people together talking about, kind of pulling the curtain back and talking about what it is like, you know, what's like to make beer and what their day-to-day is, maybe even shelling out a little dirt on the industry or talking about like things that people aren't aware of that, you know, that it takes to make beer. So the events always turn out to be fun because you get kind of an inside look and then you get to go drink their beer.
And yeah. When you're buying, you know, beer, kegs of beer, there's so many choices, so many good breweries. I mean, do you feel like you're missing out? Do you feel like you get to buy all the beer you want?
No, always missing out. There's always something that I'm like, oh man, how did I miss that? There's only so many taps, even though we have 60, there's still only so many taps, so it's yeah. I mean, there's so much amazing beer right now that it's almost it seems kind of you ever go out and you go to like a club or your friend has a birthday somewhere and they've got like 20 lines and it's all just like crap and you're like it's like irresponsible these days to not have something amazing on because there's so much amazing beer. How do you not have some amazing option on, local option on at all times?
So. You know, some places have these new kind of self-guided tasting machines, and I haven't really experienced them yet, but I feel like going to the well is like that. I mean, you have so many different great beers that I've never tried.
Yeah.
I'd love to just go there and taste all the beers.
Awesome. That's the point.
That's what I'm doing this weekend. Yeah.
Please. That's the whole point, to come and taste a bunch of cool, like, esoteric, adventurous, weird beer that you might not have ever heard of, but also try like some classics and standards if you're new to beer and you're catching up, or maybe you just want to chug a pint of a Pilsner and that's totally okay too. So we've got something for everybody there. We try to, anyway, have something for everybody.
Well, cheers, everybody. Cheers. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you all on.
Thank you.
And Victoria from Threes, you know, you're on the sales side.
Yeah, awesome.
What are you pitching this week for Threes? You know, I know you have special limited kegs and I used to get a whole bunch of them at Jimmy's Number 43, so...
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, I was sending out an email today that we just released for us out to market this 11 Madison Park collaboration we did, which is delicious. It's called Grain of Salt, and it has Amagansett salt in it, sea salt. And that a lot of times people look at like a salted beer, and they think that it's going to be a lot of salinity and a lot of stuff happening, and it's a banging saison that the salt, you don't even notice. It like reinforces this note that... Like, oh, you can see why these guys collaborated on this for a restaurant. You know, it like makes food.
Wait,
pop.
So Matt and Joel, when you guys make it, do you do the hashtag Salt Bay?
Oh, they're Salt Bays. Don't let them say anything else. You know, these boys are Salt Bays.
Finishing it off. So what are you talking about? Yeah, you don't know about that, man. You don't know the hashtag Salt Bay?
No, you're younger at heart than me, Jimmy.
He has no restaurant. Yeah.
Thanks for teaching us.
Yeah. A little meat juice in there. You putting meat juice in your beers now, too?
What?
Levy.
Yeah.
Levy. Victoria, see, you got the whole party started.
I'm trying. I'm just here to crank it up, you know? Yeah. That's that sales rep life. Woo! That's what we're doing, huh? I also was a bartender, so that helps as well. Shots, guys? Is that what we're... No, not yet? Okay. All right, I'll come back to you on that.
But you guys distribute through Union Beer, but you're also going out there talking to accounts, or you're just more like working the phones, taking orders?
No, honestly, I mean, like I said, I was the bartender from the get-go with Threes, and we just recently have been able to expand. We're starting to increase some production, and so I kind of elbowed my way in there to say, if you guys are ready to have someone out on the streets, like, talking up the brand. I mean, I drink the Kool-Aid, or Flavor-Aid, according to Jonestown, either way. If you want to get into trivia. But yeah, I mean, I love what we do. I was super fortunate to have a connection and start working at Threes and realize that these guys actually make really solid beers that are super great to drink. So I'm trying to, you know, hit the streets. Talk to our clients, talk to some accounts that we've had, see if I can find some new people to try the awesome beers that we're making, you know? Just out there, Jimmy.
That's great. I'm so glad. And I'm glad I remembered your name, Victoria.
Yeah,
I know,
right?
Took me five times.
I'm glad you said yours at the start of the show. It was really helpful. I was like, dang, we're going to get this, brother. We're going to crush it, man.
I love that. All right, Victoria and Jimmy, we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Oh, man. My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. You can become a member. There's a lot of perks and benefits, including hanging out in the studio with me. You can come on a Tuesday night, 5 o'clock, at Roberta's Pizza, and get to hang out with these great beer guys. So we're talking about New York City Beer Week preview with guys from Transmitter, Threes, and two of my favorite beer bars, Beer Street and The Well. So, Corey, you've poured another beer. We had a crazy Suarez Oak Wild Ale, and now what's the next beer?
Ian brought this one, actually. It is from True. He went ahead and tapped the beer a little early, which I'm thankful for, because I'd want to be drinking this shit ASAP. But
that's True.
What do we got? Oh, shit.
This is, we're not sure how to pronounce this. Corey thinks it's Ekate. I said Ekate. I don't know. We'll ask the True guys tomorrow during the event.
Ekate, probably.
Ekate. It's got to be. It's got to be. This is a golden wild ale aged on grape pomace. So, I haven't even tasted it yet. Somebody else can maybe take over. And
it's real good.
It's Anthony. There we go. Real good.
I mean, those guys out there make some great beer for sure. This is, it's interesting because it's much more aggressive than Suarez, but super delicious, like nice funky edge to it, I think, from the grape must. It's another beautiful beer.
And I feel like the last couple of years, you know, sours have been like the category everyone wants to try sours. But I really feel like that people are able to talk a little deeper about sours. And this is the second wild ale we've had today. You guys?
Yeah. What was the question?
I mean, there's no question.
You just want me to take over for a second?
Take over, bro. Wild ales. I mean, we can go deeper in sours.
May I?
Please.
You're welcome.
Like, sour is not a category anymore. It's not.
I mean, I remember watching it happen at Proletariat, really. You know, it was like there was an Asimov article about Gosa, kind of, and that, like, just did it. And because he was appealing to wine people, obviously, he sort of set it in motion with those people, and it really trickled down and, like, quickly, and it spread like wildfire. And so I remember, like, you know, in the Whole Foods days, Canteon being on the shelf, people looking at a bottle saying, this is nice, and looking at the $7.50, and it was $23 10, 12 years ago, and they were like, oh, mm-mm. So I would just buy, like, another one each week and just be like, okay, great, keep buying these. So it's almost like we now lament the loss of these brands because we can't necessarily get them as easily as we used to, but there's so many more people attempting various sour ale styles, not necessarily Goose or Lambic or whatever, but, I mean, it's really amazing to be where we are now, where there are so many breweries and so many of them are really, really great. Really great.
That's great. And Anthony, you know, you guys make saisons, and let's talk about what you guys are doing. Are you making any wild ales at all?
We do probably about 25% of our production is what I would call wild ale in the style of what we're drinking now. Stuff that takes a year in a barrel and another year in the bottle to come together. Those are the slowest beers we make. You know, we make fast beers as well, which to us is more like 3 months.
Which ones are the fast beers?
Some of the saisons we can get done in 10 or 12 weeks. You know, everything we do is bottle conditioned, which adds to our process time. We just like what happens to the beer in the conditioning process. So, that's become an important part of our brand, I think, and our approach. Once you're in the middle of it, time is time. It's, you just give it what it needs. And, you know, we're still lucky in that we can really focus on the best quality beer that we can make, and I think that's an important part of Transmitter as well.
Justin popped a can. It looks like a 3, so I guess I want to get in line for the next beer. And Anthony, also earlier you talked about that you guys are actually doing can aging.
Yeah, so we decided we would put beer in cans. For the first 4 years of Transmitter, we've done bottles and kegs, and everything is bottle or keg conditioned. Over the last 6 or 7 months, we've been working with cans and testing can conditioning, which is essentially naturally carbonating the beer in the can. Most beer that you drink today is fourth carbed. You put CO2 in it and you can it and it's good to go. We chose to do our beer the slow way and actually can condition it. So we add a little bit of sugar, a little bit of yeast. The yeast metabolizes the sugar, makes CO2 in the can, just like you would with standard traditional bottle conditioning.
I thought you couldn't do that with cans.
No, you can.
You can do it.
It takes testing, and people are generally afraid of it because of it can go south. But with care and attention, it's just another vessel for beer, and you can treat it as such.
Anthony, what do you think about the potential for people putting these can-conditioned saisons onto shelves that aren't cold, like at Whole Foods or wherever else? Like, how have you been able to contend with that?
we're super patient in fermentation, so some of those traditional worries are that things going on shelves still have residual sugar in them, and they'll continue to carbonate in a warm environment. Because of our patience, that's not so much consideration. One of the cool things about can conditioning is that there's very low levels of oxygen left in the can because the yeast metabolizes that oxygen, and so they end up being super stable over time. They'll change because they're still living organisms. They're still alive. The beers are still moving and changing. But it's almost always for the better.
How do you feel about people cellaring your cans? Or do you recommend that they get drunk more fresh?
Yeah, people should get drunk.
But would you say that bottle conditioning and can conditioning now are the same thing, or there's a difference?
Yeah, they are the same thing. Absolutely. It's the same process we use for the bottles. We think of it the same way. We're a little bit, the cans can't hold quite as much CO2 as a traditional champagne bottle or punted bottle. So we pay a little more attention to the level of carbonation, but we're still bringing the cans up to what I would consider our more traditional saison levels of CO2.
So with the can, I mean, at what stages do you stop and test certain cans to see, like, a few weeks out, a few months out?
All of that. I mean, that's testing is, at that point, is pretty much a constant. I mean, we need to know what's happening at different times, so.
Great. And then Justin from Threes, you just poured a Threes can. Let's talk about this beer. We'll jump over to Threes.
I'm going to let Matt Levy talk about this beer.
Come on, Levy.
All right.
It's like with Victoria, I have to say his name like five times. Levy. Come on, Levy.
Is that Levy?
who cares? This is Counterpart. This is our, you know, we canned this a few days ago. It's
yesterday.
It's a pale ale. Really, really like this beer a lot. I would say it's a staff favorite. It's about 4 to 4.5%, super smooth, delicate, simple. This is a great beer for drinking in this 70-degree February.
I'll take a refill. Style is this? It's like, is this extra pale ale? This is like a hot. Cause this is like the kind of style that I was drinking a lot from you guys last year.
Yeah, it's just a pale ale with low bitterness. I mean, a lot of our beers have a similar focus. They're balanced, simple. You can drink pints of them, and you know the second pint is as good as the first, I hope. But they're social drinking beers, same as Vliet. I think they serve a similar purpose, but you know.
Joel?
So this beer has citra hops in it, but it also has a German varietal called Sapphire. So it's a little twist on, you know, what everybody else is doing and like the hot names and hops. So old world meets new old world. So
the thing I like about this style of pale ale, it's very dry. Like it's dry, refreshing, but it's not like too citrusy. It's not like what the session IPAs were a few years ago. Ian, Corey, I mean, is this style jive for you guys? Like a nice dry pale ale?
Oh, absolutely. The more sessionable, the better. I think Corey and I'd probably agree that there's a lot of really big beers out there, and working in beer, it's tough to constantly drink 8%, you know, double IPAs or stouts with things thrown into them. And it's really great and exciting, I think, to see a lot of people making really, really flavorful. I think that's the most difficult thing, is to make a really flavorful, sessionable beer. Something that you can, that packs a lot of flavor, but you can drink, you know, socially, as Matt said.
And so, ideally balanced.
And balanced.
Which is really the problem. You know, if somebody at the bar asks me what kind of beer I like, I say balanced. Because one, it's a stupid fucking question. And two, that's the only real answer. You know, that's the only real
answer. Is it harder to get, for Matt and Joel, is it harder to get flavor out of a lower alcohol beer than a bigger alcohol beer?
Yeah, I think that the whole, to make a beer balanced and delicate and keep it flavorful is, I guess, it's sort of a challenge. But for me with this beer, it's about caring about more than just the hops. It's about caring about the malt, the yeast profile, where it finishes in fermentation. You know, it's still super hazy, people. So even though it's simple, but yeah, it's about all those other elements kind of like propping up the hops, as opposed to the hops are the only thing you're really focusing on.
Corey, you liked that, didn't you? You said hazy and you started giving it.
You're making me feel old, man.
What's this called? Well, how would you describe this motion? He took his fist and
it's a fuck yeah, you know. Like,
Victoria, how would you, what do you have a term for that physical expression?
I believe the meme was success kid, but that's just me, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and Saul Pei is like up.
What's
and
his name? Yeah, that's what it
is. This is it. This is what Beer Week's like now, you know. And you guys, I gotta get Rob on.
That
Rob,
was Howard Dean.
You know, you're going to be at the opening bash on Saturday. It's become the big event.
30 New York City breweries or so, and maybe 30 outside New York City breweries. No, it's going to be a great time. Over 1,000 people sells out every year. So the Guild's super happy about hosting it. It's in Greenpoint, and if you haven't bought your tickets, you're not going to go because this show comes on much later than the show. Yeah.
But you guys have to find a balance. I mean, weren't you guys just down in Florida for like the Wake Fest for Jay Wakefield?
We had beer down at the Wake Fest. We actually didn't get to go. I have some family that lives down in Miami, so my sister-in-law poured beer for Transmitter. She was Team Transmitter.
Yeah, I mean, do you go a lot to these other, like, specialty beer festivals around the country?
We actually do very few. We're a super small brewery in New York right now, so most of our time's focused making beer and, you know, selling beer. We're trying to do more stuff as we try to grow and expand, so hopefully in the coming years we'll be at more of the national events.
Right. Cheers to everybody.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers. And Corey, man, welcome to it. You always bring the craziest beers.
Come on, Jimmy.
I mean, you know that Suarez family, for a while, weren't even delivering to Manhattan.
That's right.
But they were delivering to you.
That's why I opened a bar in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Suarez. Yeah.
Let's talk. Okay, before the break, anecdote. So,
yeah.
Okay, swag and the industry. All right. You're a longtime beer bar manager, buyer. One time you worked at a big establishment, and what? Someone gave you, what was it, a snowboard?
You like that story.
I love that story. But these are like the stories that people want to know about.
I received a snowboard from one of the best reps I've ever worked for, who was the Anheuser-Busch rep. And now, we didn't buy Budweiser at Whole Foods back then, but we did buy Stella and we did buy Leffe and some of the other ones. And he was just a really nice guy. You know, he didn't give a shit about beer, and it didn't matter because he was good at his job. He would do me favors. I would do him favors every now and again, and it was great. And he offered me this snowboard. And normally, I feel like most people would say, why would
like
I
Sean
want
White, right? Sean White has a snowboard.
Sean Hill? I don't know. probably not. But
Olympics, dude.
But I was actually seeing a girl at the time who was a snowboarder. And so I was like, man, I'll take that. And fast forward a week or so, and I was brought into the the office, the management office, and I was told that I didn't have a job anymore because I accepted a gift from a supplier over $25 value, and that had to be okayed by upper management first.
But that's actually what started you really off on your career, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's how I made all the relationships I did with some of the guys who were union reps at the time that are upper management there now, and you know, breweries and importers, people like BR from Shelton, of course, and the B United guys, John and Mike, and all these people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, cheers, man.
Yeah.
It's great to have you on. I really haven't seen you in a while, and I'm looking forward to checking out Beer Street during Beer Week. So we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. So we're talking about getting free swag when you buy beer. Ian, what happened? So you're not getting snowboards from Transmitter or Threes?
What the fuck, guys? Where's the Transmitter snowboard for me to not ever use? Because I don't do anything like that.
Here you go, Ian.
There's a sticker. I'm being presented with a sticker right now by Victoria, and she threw it, and I didn't even catch it. No, warrant, warrant, warrant. It's a fucking cool sticker.
Doesn't that lead us back to the bigger question of craft beer? So the macro guys have money to give out snowboards and T-shirts and take you to, sports tickets.
Right.
But the craft beer guys are putting, what, their money in their beer? Is that what you guys are doing, Rob?
Nerds.
Put money in beer and New York City real estate, rent, and cost of living. And it's tough to run a brewery in New York City. I mean, I'm sure Justin will agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
But it's really that much more like if you guys were like in North Carolina. I mean, are the costs that much higher in New York than somewhere like that?
I mean, as long as you're not in Nashville, which is, you know, I think sort of the ship has sailed for Asheville real estate, but New York City real estate is the most expensive real estate in North America besides maybe San Francisco. So couple that with labor costs and living costs, it's probably the most expensive place to do business.
I remember when we first started the show 2010-11, Rich Buchetta, who ended up opening Single Cut, Beersmith, and Astoria, Queens. At the time, for those same reasons, he was looking at places like up in the Hudson Valley and other counties. And I feel like that somehow he decided, he found a place in Queens. And next thing you know, Brooklyn Brewery decided to stay in Williamsburg. What was that hook? If New York City is so expensive, how did we go from like four breweries to 30?
I think there was a lot of excitement back in like 2007, 2008. There were like a few craft beer like breweries that had opened and kind of brought this kind of like, I don't know, this new era of like what they could be doing with beer. And from then on, there were people who were working in all these breweries who were talking about doing their own thing, from like Sam and Matt from Mother Half to Jesse from Innerborough to like, I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But like basically, I mean, I agree with like Rob, like it's just like there's a point where you do this out of excitement, then you realize, oh shit, like I can't just expand next door, like real estate's tight, like prices are always going up, so we have to just try to figure out how we're gonna keep rolling.
At Threes, were you guys considering opening a production brewery somewhere else, or you're not doing
that? At some point we will, yeah. We've been in talks. We were looking at Long Island. We passed on that. We're now considering what we're gonna be doing next.
Yeah. And Rob, are you guys expanding or anything like that?
Yeah, we're actually, we have a lease signed at the Brooklyn Navy Yards in what Brooklyn Brewing was going to move into. That's going to happen over the next 6 to 8 months. So hopefully we'll be open in the summer in a big brewery, tap room, food hall situation at the Navy Yard.
But so the numbers work for you? Or are you scared?
Oh, we're scared.
Anthony's shaking his head.
Yeah.
Like my little transmitter boys.
Yeah. You know, it's still New York City. You know, the problem is that this is where we live. So this is where you want to work. This is where you know people. This is where it's happening. On the good side, there's 8 million people within, you know, 6-mile radius. The bad thing about
New
York City is...
That's why the subway is slow.
Right. The bad side is that everyone's distracted by a million other potential things going on. You know, shows and museums and all sorts of other things to distract your attention. So, there are, you know, it's two sides of a coin. It's not easy. The smart money does... moves 50 miles in any one direction and sells beer to New York City. I mean, that's what smart people do. Yeah. Since I'm not smart, I'm staying put.
I think you are smart. I just think you're a glutton for punishment.
And then Ian Free at the Well, you know, with those 60 taps, what's your ratio of New York City breweries versus like faraway breweries? And then there's the in-between, but...
Yeah, well, it's become more New York-centric over time as the breweries have opened. I would say maybe at times 50%, maybe give or take a little bit. But I mean, it's really easy to do right now to have mostly local beer, and I mean, we find that also with beer tourism becoming more of an international thing. There's more appeal in New York. People are coming to this city just to check out all of the breweries, and if they for some reason can't. The Well is a really great destination for checking out. Basically, like, it's a representation of what's happening locally. We have a little bit of something from everybody. Corey, do you have something you'd like to say?
No, please continue.
I lost my train of thought. Where's my snowboard? Where'd I put my snowboard?
Well, then, Alex, and what about this beer we're drinking? This is a transmitter? What is this?
I think everyone's got a G1. It's one of two of our cans. We just
that's
released.
My new nickname, G1.
I like it.
I like that name. That is cool.
So we didn't bottle this a month ago. We canned it a month ago, and it conditioned over the course of the last month, and it's our first can offering. You'll notice that. We put a lid on the both top and bottom, so you shouldn't cellar this beer. It's meant to be chugged, so please just drink it when you get it.
But how long did this beer? This is your fast slow beer. How long did this kind of sit?
Yeah, this is a fast beer. We canned this in the middle of January. We released it the first week of February. It took 2 weeks to carbonate, and it's good to go. So we let it sit in the fermenter for 6 weeks before canning, which is the, you know, our slow part, our patient part.
Wait, Justin, you're just looking at, what's up with this can? You're like looking at the top and the bottom? I didn't quite
drink
get
faster,
that.
Faster, Jimmy.
The ketchup.
Yeah, I have a question for a transmitter. First of all, the cans are beautiful. And congratulations on cans. It's awesome. I wonder, do you think...
Welcome to America.
right. Do you think with cans and can culture becoming more pervasive, do you think this is a good place for people to enter? People that are obsessed with hops and IPAs, which are, you know, probably the most of the cans that you find are IPAs. Do you think this is a kind of a good entry point for people that maybe don't normally drink Belgian ales or Saisons, who entered beer through the hop thing, are going to go, well, that's in a can, and I like cans, so let me try this Belgian beer, and maybe they'll be turned on to something different, something, you know, maybe it's revolutionary in that sense. What do you think of that?
I think it's absolutely the IPA thing is tough on people's palates, especially double IPAs. It's really high alcohol, kind of hard to match with some food. So these sort of let people, you know, open cans up, single service, have it with dinner. I think it just expands the kind of beer people can drink and nothing beats that sound of a well-carbed can.
You didn't have to pour it all over my lap, Corey.
One question for you guys.
I'm not going to follow up on that.
Have you guys tested the shotgun ability of these
we attest to the high quality shotgun ability.
Thank you. That's all I
Corey,
all
is
I need
that another G1 or is that something else?
You know, this is actually the S4 Saison, which, man, is one of my favorite transmitter beers. Sorry, there's beer on the mic. It's to be expected after this show.
This what happens just, in New York. It's a Beer Week preview, and I usually find that we're like Monday or Tuesday of Beer Week, I actually can't talk anymore. So, and everyone keeps starting earlier. I mean, this is Tuesday. Beer Week's supposed to start on Friday, but you're having what, Ian? You have events starting Wednesday.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of us that are doing that event, but this Beer Week in particular feels like, you know, I used to play music. I used to be in a band. We toured. This feels like South by Southwest. It feels like this year in particular, everybody is doing a lot. The whole city has just become very, very beer-centric. Everybody's involved in a lot of
events. It's about fucking
time. Yeah, it's awesome, Christ. Right? It's awesome. But I'm so tired already. But excited.
Just I know who's not tired, though. Victoria's not. You're the fresh new energy we need.
Fresh faces. I believe that's what they call us in Vogue. Is that not what we're talking about? No, I'm looking good over here, y'all. Face for radio. I'm ready to crush it this beer week. Ian, let's do it. Who's shotgunning with me? Nobody?
Absolutely not me.
Okay, awesome. Good to know. Good to know.
So on that's the fine. Goofy side, I mean, now that Beer Week is such a thing, are there any, like, beer competitions going on, guys? Any type of best brewery or best beer event or the Rupert's Cup? You still have those things going on?
There is. I think all those things are going on. Rupert's Cup is, it's based on New York City beer. You know, the smash beer that the Brewers Guild does. People come together and make a New York State ingredient beer of various styles and then vote on it, essentially. And I think there are ancillary contests, best bar, best bartender, best event, like all sorts of sort of fun, goofy things going on for that.
And then, what do you will this mayor ever come out? You think Mayor de Blasio would come out and like crack a keg or a cask and say it's New York City Beer Week? Now I remember Mayor Bloomberg used to give us a proclamation every summer. July is Good Beer Month, and Mayor de Blasio hasn't been as into like doing those kind of public humiliations.
We should all tweet him right now.
He should come out. He should come out the opening bash and, you know, hoist a pint or something, right?
I hope he has more important things to do with this time. But Jimmy, who's winning Best Coaster this year?
Well, that was Industrial Arts last year really stood out, guys. I don't know. Do you guys have a coaster, Justin? Or this is the thing, Ian. These local craft breweries don't have coasters.
There's a sticker on the table. It kind of looks like a coaster right now.
That's because coasters are ugly and outmoded. So moving forward.
Do you
forward.
Get free coasters now instead of snowboards, Corey?
Huh?
Do you get free coasters instead of snowboards?
No, Jimmy, we don't use coasters because they're ugly and outmoded.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
At Threes, we consistently use Allagash's free coasters. So thanks, you guys, to our friends up in Maine. Really keeping it clean at the bar, you guys. Thank you.
And which craft brewery is providing the most quality pint glasses? For a while, it was what? Sierra Nevada?
Bells.
Wow.
You got.
I heard they say Bells. On
the side of them.
That's cool.
Actually, and then there's a picture of the Bells logo.
You're kidding.
No, it's a kind of a new development.
Those Bells on that logo? I never read that.
Many beer bars.
It's very literal.
I thought they were hats.
On the marketing budget. I'm still a big fan of the Chimay goblets, which are very prevalent as well.
I'm a big fan of paying for better glassware.
And what is that? So you guys torse that funny shaped glass. You know, how did that take off?
The Tegu glass?
Yeah.
That's the best glass ever, man. That's a great glass. That glass is Italian by design and German by production. And Proletariat, I think, was one of the first places to use them around. And you see them, the proliferation has been great. And a lot of the breweries make them now. And Proletariat has their own branded glass right now, which is super cool. And, you know, it's just a really great all-encompassing beer glass where instead of having a glass for every single beer like you would in a sort of traditional Belgian sense, this one pretty much does it for all. And like certain beers, like a really great pale ale or a pils or something, I'm not going to bother putting in that glass.
Wait, I'm getting confused. Matt, you just poured me a beer. What did I get?
Matt, what did he get?
This is a peer review. It's a collab we did with Industrial Arts that we canned yesterday.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a double IPA with a bunch of fresh mango. Special yeast blend. And, yeah, a lot of Galaxy hops. It's juicy.
Because some people are mixing my glasses, but Corey, were you the one? Did you actually like start that trend to start using that glassware?
I mean, if Proletariat was, we can thank Chris Elford, who was really the brains behind the birth of that. And he left about 6 months into it, and then I took over. And I was helping him with the ordering early on and service and things like that. But it was really Chris who recognized the beauty in that glass and then and moved forward.
And what's the brand of glassware?
Teku, T-E-K-U. A collaborative design between Teo Musso, who owns Baladin in Rome, and Kuaska, who's this incredibly prolific and ridiculous, wonderful beer guru.
And then brewery guys like Threes and Transmitter, do you guys think that you should have set glassware in your tasting rooms to showcase your styles of beer, and is that possible financially?
No.
Yes, but no.
And people steal glasses too, right?
Well, you branded glassware never.
Right. I mean, no branded glassware in the brewery for sure. That's only for sale. We change our glassware style every time we buy it to sort of showcase various styles of beer, and different styles of beer are better in different glassware. So because we don't have flagship beers, we really work towards showing that with the glassware choices as well.
You know, going way back, like Corey might remember this, like 12 years ago, it was a different time, and I know state laws changed. A lot of the older, like European breweries, you know, Schneider, Aventinus, Chimay, Duvel, had their own glasses for their, and more of a, especially the Belgian breweries, had their own glassware for their own beer. And I remember when, back in 2005, every beer we had on tap had a specific glassware from the supplier. And it was a different era. And someone, I might have been Governor Spitzer, if you remember him, they really canned that aspect of the swag. But it's just something to talk about because, you know, as beer bar guys, it would be nice to get a snowboard. But we also know that we don't want that to be the answer from InBev. I get to get that kind of beer and free swag. But
coming from the bartending side over at Threes, I definitely know we brand our tulips. So I think we've tried to streamline it a little bit with our like sampler glass. And then we definitely, I mean, it's not the fancy Axis glass that you guys have of the German Nazi, whatever. We don't need to talk about that. That's the past.
Did I say that?
No. But it's interesting that it's Germany and
everybody just
Italia
perked up.
Italia, anyway. You're not talking, but that's great. Victoria.
It's a great
I'm
glass.
I'm so glad that we're doing it.
It's a great glass.
It is an awesome glass. Yeah. So we have a different glass, but it is branded with our Morse code, and I know people swipe it, but it's really nice to, I don't know, have something in the middle that feels approachable to people.
I think glassware is a huge thing, and I do think the Teku is actually a great glass. It's a glass that a lot of like breweries have like all like accepted and know that it's just such an easy glass to drink beer out of, and you can get a lot from a lager all the way to like a saison all the way to a sour from it. But we've flipped around with our glasses at Threes from like having just like, you know, liter like pints for our pilsners all the way to just like very simple like wine glasses, just to like be, for us it was just more about like quantity and simplicity. We also have a concrete bar, so we break a lot of fucking glasses. So, whatever's affordable.
Take your glasses are not cheap, man.
Yeah, you look at them wrong, they'll smash.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a nice ball jelly jar, right? You know, with beer in it.
Yeah. That's right. Our Roberta's vibe. Yeah,
I like you guys have the like Bollica, like the OG like palm glass you used to. Anyway,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a crazy fucking glass, man. It's great.
We have glasses now, this big sort of Belgian tulip that is fun to drink beer out of, but it's like, it's way too big, you know, like it's more,
14 ounces.
You know, like it's more than you, it's more than is appropriate for what we're pouring into the glass generally. So.
Which is nice because you give nosing room. I mean, when we open a bottle of whatever it may be, typically a bottle, sometimes a glass when it's your cans. I'm sorry, sometimes a can when it's yours, I should say. You know, you pour 6 ounces or so into the teku, and you leave all that nosing room, and that's the point. You don't fill it, because it just looks nicer not full, to be honest. And if they want to, they can go ahead and do it. But if you really want to get into that beer, you leave the room for them to do it. So right. I think that's nice.
You guys, I want to give a big cheers. This is a great group of people, great beer bars, great brewery people. And hey, it's New York City Beer Week coming up. Last wrap around, everybody, just you know, say your name, where you're from, and anything you want to give a shout out to. Matt?
Matt Levy.
Are you sure?
From Threes Brewing. And shout out to Bill de Blasio.
All right. Good guy.
Joel Ford, Threes Brewing. Cheers, guys.
Ian Lundquist, bar manager at The Well. I want to give a shout out to Sean on his birthday. Today is one of our bartender's birthdays. I just wanted to say, what up, Sean? Happy birthday.
All right, Sean.
Sean.
He's also working for me right now.
Justin from Threes. Just want to give a shout out to Emily and Anna at Threes.
Oh, man, that's nice. You have a great operation, too, Justin, really. Threes, I mean, as a brewery, also, like, just the space, restaurant, bar, it's really one of my favorite places to go.
Rob from Transmitter and all the people working on New York City Beer Week.
Anthony from Transmitter, and just think about the good beer you're drinking.
Thank you. Thanks for the G1, Anthony.
Victoria from Threes, I want to shout out to Teku Glass. I didn't mean to insult you. You're an amazing glass. You know, it's just some weird countries, dude. There's some history there, yo.
All right.
Corey from Jimmy's Number 43, and I'd like to shout out to myself.
You're awesome, man. Corey, we go way back, and we had some great experiences, and I'll tell you this. There's nothing like working in New York City and craft beer scene here. I cannot believe how it's changed in 10 years, and you guys are at the forefront. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And if you're still if you're listening live and listening this week, New York City Beer Week is on. The opening bash is Saturday. And there's so many great events. Check it out, New York City Beer Week. And thanks for listening. Ian?
I just want to say that new bars like The Well owe a lot to you two, Corey and Jimmy. Thank you for everything you did for beer earlier on. Cheers. Wow.
You guys rock stars. All right. Woo! And big shout out to our producer, Justin Kennedy, engineer, David Tadashore. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo! Woo!
Yeah!
G1, baby! G1!
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Ever wonder what kind of podcast Julia Child would have made? Probably would have been one where she introduced you to all of her latest discoveries and favorite people. And that's exactly the tradition we're following on Inside Julia's Kitchen, the podcast of the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts. Join me, Todd Shulkin, your host, and the Foundation's Executive Director, as I bring you inside the Foundation's world to meet the bright lights of today's food universe, just as Julia used to do from her own famous kitchen. New episodes air on Heritage Radio Network, Wednesdays at noon Eastern. Listen in.